Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to continue on from there. Hebrews chapter 8. You got it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Nepalese 8.
Oh, is that a Nepalese 8, is it? I have no chance.
Yeah,
shall I read from that? It says this now, the main point. Right. I'm going to read from verse 1 initially, okay? And we'll start just at verse 1, and we'll just go through this chapter. It's only 13 verses, but in it there's a lot of things that are pertaining to moving forward in God in faith.
Amen.
And this is important, because what we have today through Christ Jesus is far greater than what even Moses and Abraham, Joshua and the others had. This, we have a better covenant, a better relationship with the Lord Jesus and with our Heavenly Father. And so verse 1 starts now. The main point in what has been said is this: we have such a high priest, that's the Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen,
who has taken his seat at the right hand of throne of the majesty in heaven.
Amen.
That's where Jesus is now.
Mm.
He sat at the right hand of the Father.
Mm.
And you know, he sat at the right hand of the Father, and he's talking about you, you know, to the Father. He's speaking to the Father face to face about you. Interceding. And he's actually right at the Father, right in the presence of the Father. Wow. How does he do it? I've no idea. Don't know. But this is the amazing thing. That this is why God is God. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is why God is God. Because he can do all of these things and not be fazed.
Mm.
I find that amazing.
Yeah.
And then verse 2 says, and he's at the right hand of the Father, of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man. The tabernacle of heaven.
Amen.
Jesus is ministering. He's there. It's not this tabernacle that we made, like that Moses made or that Solomon built the temple. But it is this heavenly presence, this heavenly place.
Amen.
And verse 3 says, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Hence, it is necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a high priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. For see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. So today, what we have is a copy, is a pattern of what's happening in heaven.
Amen.
Our worship should be a copy of what is happening in the very presence of God. Because when we come together as a group of believers, we come in the image of heaven. We come in the image of heaven. So that when we come in the image of heaven, so that when we get to heaven, well,
we were
it's not a surprise to us, that's right. It's like, we were doing this on earth, you know. But it will be even more intensified, and it will even mean even more to us. In that sense, we'll catch a greater realization of what we were doing and how important it was. And so, thankfully, Jesus made that one and final sacrifice in his own death on the cross, putting an end to the sacrifices of animals and etc. that the people brought. And they had to do it every year. Every year they had to keep coming back and having this covering. It was like, you know, after a period of time, it washed off and they had to have a coat on it, you know, so that they could actually come into the presence of God and that they could actually receive from God. Because then each and every one of us failed and sinned. But when Jesus came, Jesus was this sacrifice once and for everybody.
Amen.
This was the final sacrifice that you and I no longer have to be in a place of condemnation.
No.
We're free.
Yeah.
Because Jesus has paid the price. And I know I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it till I know everybody's got it, and even that I've got it as well. We need to make sure we've got Jesus right in the centre. In the centre of our life, in the centre of our church, in the centre of our work, whatever we do, that we seek in our jobs to be a glorification of God. So that when somebody looks at you, they say, wow, just look at Dilip. He's a fantastic worker. You know, he works harder than everybody else. And why does he do it? He doesn't do it. And this is how I see it. This is how I've always done it. I didn't work for my boss because he paid me. I worked for God and my boss paid me. Right? And so I worked hard as I could. I tried to be the best as I could because I wasn't working for my earthly boss. I was working for God because I needed to be the example to my earthly boss how good my God was to me, and that because of my God, I worked better and harder than anybody else.
Yeah.
And that's how I've always seen that in my life. And that's how I've always tried to live it. And sometimes it can get you into trouble. But hey, Jesus said that they hated him, they despised him. But he said, if they hated me and despised me, they're going to hate you and despise you. Because Jesus is in you.
Yeah.
And when people look at you and look at me, they should be able to say, there's something different about you. What is it? And then that's the opportunity. You can tell them about Jesus. It's the Jesus that lives in you. It's the Christ that lives in you, the Word of God. And so Jesus here has begun, is now the high priest of our sacrifices. And tonight, as we've prayed, we've offered a sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Amen.
Unto him. We brought our requests unto him, and then we've offered a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving in faith, believing, expecting, and knowing that he will hear and answer
Amen.
Our prayers.
Amen.
And so if we read the Bible and we read, for instance, let's take Daniel, the book of Daniel, and we see how Daniel prayed.
Yeah.
And then we see that as Daniel prayed, the answer was released from heaven, from the throne room of God. Well, if God can do it for Daniel in the old covenant, he can do it for us in a far better covenant today. And so we need to rejoice in that. And so verse 7, it goes on to say this. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would be no occasion sought for a second covenant. So even in Hebrews, you know, the writer is saying to the Hebrews, the first covenant had problems. The first covenant that God made with Abraham had flaws in it. The main flaw was that it was a covenant that was
with men.
It was a covenant that both sides had to keep in that sense. You know, they had to bring the sacrifice. They had to have that relationship. And to some degree, in the sense of this, even today, we need to keep our relationship with the Lord Jesus. But he's done everything for us.
Amen.
There's nothing of us that can stand in the way of God.
No.
There's nothing that blocks us entering into his presence. Because if Christ is in you, then when we walk and come before the presence of God, God sees Jesus.
Amen.
He sees the Christ in you. He sees Christ in me. And as soon as he sees his own son, he says, come in, son. Come in, son.
He'll never be refused.
And you know, when we pray together, when we start praying, and as was said, something powerful is going to increase. As we start praying, when the devil hears us, he thinks, oh no. How many is there tonight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 Jesuses all there praying. Now, is that powerful? Whoa. And the devil says, oh no. Please go back to sleep. Please be quiet. Please be complacent. Please be disillusioned. You know, that's what the devil was saying to us. In fact, today I heard on a program, as I was coming home from the office, and they were talking about the negative news that is always coming over and saying that there needs to be some good news. It's like, we've got the good news. We've got a book full of good news. And it's like, we have good news to tell the world. And so we're just like, and you know, we should, and it is true. Good news they don't want to report.
No.
It's not sensational enough. But like I told you tonight, China, the growth in China, there's growth in Nepal, there's growth in other nations. The growth in China is outstripping the growth that's in South America.
Mm-hmm.
And South America's growing. Yeah. You know, and you know, we might think, well, is God passing us by? No, he's not.
No. Hey, we've got our promise.
He's not passing us by. He's actually passing over us.
Amen.
You know, when Moses was waiting for the angel that came over, God passed over.
Amen.
And the next day, they were set free.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And they were heading for the promised. So
Amen.
Come on, we're being set free. Amen. God is passing over. And let's begin to believe and expect that freedom in God to come forward to us. Verse 8, for fault finding with them, he says, behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers, on the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. You see, it's going to be a better covenant than the one that got you out of Egypt, that got them out of prison, that got them out of 400 years of slavery.
Yeah.
It's a better covenant that we have available to us today. Hallelujah. Praise his name. And so, where am I?
Eight.
Thanks. Eight on to nine. And I've read nine. Thanks. You know, I get so excited with what's happening. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law into their minds and I will write it upon their hearts. Wow. You see, God has stopped writing in tablets of stone. Old Testament. Old Covenant. Ten Commandments. He stopped writing the stone ones. He's now writing in the hearts of flesh. He's writing them in our hearts. And so when he writes his love into our hearts and his covenant of love into our hearts, we know it.
Amen.
We know he loves it, don't we?
Yeah.
We know, even when we make a mistake, we still, deep down, know he loves us.
Yeah.
All you've got to do is, you've just got to do this, look. Yeah. It's written right on my heart that he loves me. That's what you got to do. I know. I've been, you know, you think, oh, he's, yeah, I've all wrong pocket, wrong one, that one. But it is, you've got to literally say, you know, well, you might be laughing, but King David, one day he's feeling sad, he's feeling depressed, he's feeling rejected, he's feeling a failure. And then suddenly he says, he opened his cloak and he said, "Oh my soul, why are you down? Hoping God." He's talking to himself. Come on. Speak the word. Look at yourself and say, "It's written on my heart.
It is. Never be erased."
And God has changed his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so all you got to do is, he's still there. It's written on with indelible pen. You can't rub it off. It's written on. Be encouraged. Hallelujah. He's kept you. And he's kept you. And he's keeping you.
Amen.
Because he has a purpose. Each and every one of us. That's fantastic. And some of you think, well, I don't know what my purpose is. That's okay, just enjoy the ride.
Amen.
Until your purpose and your plan appears.
Yep.
Right? I mean, 18, I thought, I'm going onto the mission field. And I was getting ready to go in one sense. And then God took me to university, and I went to university, and then I got a job, and so I carried on, and then I got involved in the youth work church, and so we became the youth leaders. We did all these things, and we carried on, and we saw young people's lives being changed. And then God said to me, "Now, I'm 33, and he says, "Now, come on, quit everything. But Lord, I've got all these things from the world." Ah, right, there you go. Every 33 years I get renewed. Yeah, go. Wait till I get to 99. Whoa, watch out! Glory of God. There you go, oh my Lord Jesus. Well, you can nanny it. So there you are, you see that, you know, you think, wow, what? And I did. Grace and I, we had great jobs. We had all this and all that. And we're thinking, do we have to give it all up? And God says, you got to give everything to me. Everything we have, everything we own, is God's anyway. Yeah. And when you learn to handle things like this, you know, you just, yeah, okay. It's like, I've got this pen. Okay? It's my pen. And Kamala said, I want that pen. I said, it's my pen. So Kamala comes up and she grabs hold of it. Grab hold of it real tight. Grab hold properly. And then she begins to twist it and bend it. And she snatches it out of my hand. And I'm like, oh, that hurt, you see. Then there's another way of doing it. God says, hold everything that I give you lightly. And then suddenly Kamala says, I want that back. It's gone. And what do you see now? You see nothing but open hands. Ready to receive the next thing that comes from God. Hold the things of God lightly, right? Hold them lightly. Because God might say, well, it's empty now. It's finished with.
Yeah. Got a better one.
Got something better coming. Make room for it. Mm-hmm. Hold it lightly. Right? It's a tough call. Because I was challenged at that point in my life. And God brought that to me in a very clear picture and said, hold the things I give you lightly. Because you are then ready for the next step. Don't hang on to something. This is mine. God says, it ain't yours. God says, I just loaned it to you. Everything we have is on loan from God. You know, so if he says, I need that back. Okay, it's finished with. It's out of date now. I've got something else for you. I'm taking you to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Follow the high priest.
Hold on.
Enter into his presence. Amen. That's right. The Bible says his yoke is easy, his burden is light. You know, he didn't create us to carry heavy burdens. He says it's easy, this one. So just walk. You know, the thing that you've got to do is that we have to walk the walk of faith. Now, at first, it's a challenge. And you might say, well, it's all right for Andrew, you know, and Grace, they've been doing it for years. Well, we may have, but I'll tell you what, every step of faith that we have to take is as big as the step of faith that you have to take.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, ours is bigger because, you know, we've done those and God says, well, you've got to come this far now. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, God, we just did this one. He said, yeah, I know, but you've done that one, so we're going to do this one now. And you think about, whoa, that's a big one. But we've got a big God. And he's able to take you from this one to that one. But you see, he's prepared you each step of the way. It's like, wow. And so when you trust him, because he's the same yesterday, today, forever. And when you have a peace in your heart, because the Prince of Peace that lives in here, you know, when you've got that peace, it's like, wherever the devil's whispering, well, he doesn't whisper, actually. Wherever the devil's shouting at you, it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Even this meeting that's going to happen on the 5th of May, it's all a lie.
Mm.
You know what else it is on the 5th of May?
I have no idea.
It's a Sunday.
Oh, hallelujah! Glory to God, I've not got that far, thank you. Hallelujah, it's Ascension Day. Hallelujah. He's risen! Hallelujah! He's ascended and glorified. Plans and purposes are in order, and he's coming to pass. Praise his wonderful name. You got it?
Yeah.
Good, I'm glad. Hallelujah! Praise God. That's all that matters, that you get it. He's ascended, it's ascension, he's arrived, he's above it all, he's gone above it all, and he's gone before us.
Yes.
Gone before us. He's prepared it. All he says is, walk in it.
Yeah.
Walk in it. Follow me. Follow me, he says, and I will make you fishers of men. He's going to make you. You're not going to make yourself. He will make you. You see, he's got you and I on the potter's wheel. Yep, he's moulding us and shaping us and forming us. Now and again he puts a bit of pressure on us and he sets us spinning. Brings it up and if there's a flaw in us, he stops the wheel and removes and starts to poke it out. And says, oh, we need to dig that flaw out. And he takes it out and he has to say, a bit of crushing again and shaping and then begins to spin the wheel and begins to form it again. And he's bringing you to the perfect vessel. What's that vessel going to carry?
The anointing.
It's going to carry the anointing of God. It's going to carry the presence of God. And it's going to pour that presence out on people's lives. And that's what God's setting us up for.
Yes.
That's what you're here for. This is why Jesus died. That you and I will be the carriers of that same anointing.
Yeah.
And then we go to somebody and we just, yep, it drips through our fingers and it just falls on them and they say, oh, what's that? What's that? What's that? It's just Jesus. And when you touch them, they feel and know the presence of the living Saviour, the presence of Almighty God through our lives. I'm not exaggerating this, you know. I really believe that God wants to reveal himself through his people.
Amen.
And that's the way he's always done it. He's always going to do it that way. And so we are the light. The Bible says that, well, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Yeah? Yeah. So you don't hide it under the table, do you?
No.
Set it on a lampstand. So it shines out and fills all the house, and it shines into every corner so that the darkness is driven away.
Yeah.
We used to sing a little chorus in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Amen.
And so, yeah, this is what it's about. There's a light in each and every one of us that God has ignited. It needs to shine out.
Amen.
And Jesus is standing there before as the high priest. And everything we pray, Jesus takes to God and says, look, Father, this is what we need now. This is what's happening. Not that God doesn't know, but carries our prayers. He carries our confessions. And so we have to realize that what we speak is powerful. So we don't speak negative things, you know. My feet are killing me. I'm freezing to death. You know, it's like, come on, you're not. Your feet aren't, you know. They might hurt, you know. I'm starving, I'm going to die, I'm starving, Mum. That, you know, it's like, no, you're not. You're just hungry. You know, and we say these things, but our words are actually powerful. The Bible says there is life and there's death in the power of the tongue. So what we say is very powerful. And we have to realize this as believers. You know, Jesus said to the lepers, go and show yourself to the high priest. And he said, be healed and go and show yourself to the high priest. And as they went, they were healed. His words were powerful.
Yeah.
When he spoke to the little girl who was dead, and he spoke and told her to arise, his words were powerful. Right? When he said to the leper with the withered hands, stretch out your hand, and his hand was opened and full. Our words should be like the words of Jesus. And so when we speak the words, we speak in power, we speak in life. And so we have to be, sometimes we have to guard our tongue.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is so easy to be so negative. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you start saying, oh, this has gone wrong and this is going to happen and this ain't going to ever happen and I'm going to have all this trouble and there's all these problems
and I'll never pass my exams
and I'll never be any good and I'll never remember this and I'll never be able to do this. Like, yeah, okay. Now you have to change your confession. You have to do your work and you have to change your confession and says, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am able, because he knows all things.
And I can,
the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus living and dwelling in me.
I can do it.
And so you're going to do it. And you know, I've heard me say, I'm not doing what I'm doing now just because suddenly it was like, wow. It was a process that I went through. But I had to trust God to be able to do it. I had to believe God. I had to press in. And I had to do it.
Amen.
And there were days when I didn't want to do it. And the days when I felt really afraid of doing it. But I had to press in. I had to believe God that what God had said to me, he was going to keep his promise.
Mm.
And he will. And he does.
Amen.
Did we get to verse 11?
Yeah.
Thank you. Verse 11. And he says, basically, yeah, it's know the Lord. And they shall not teach on his fellow citizen and everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, and all shall know me.
Amen.
from the least to the greatest of them. He's saying here, in the Old Testament, they were encouraging them, trying to sort of get them into a relationship. But God was, to them in the Old Testament, was distant. You know, to the children of Israel in the desert, God was on the mountain. Send Moses. We don't go. It's too far. They wouldn't approach God. But today, it's saying, come on. Know God personally. See God personally. Get into that relationship personally with God. Because if you get into a situation where it's just you, well, it's not just you. It's just you and God. But you have to believe that He's there with you.
Amen.
You've got to be ready to believe that wherever you are, God's right there by your side. Because He said, I'll never leave you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forsake you. He says, I'm always here.
Amen.
I'm right beside you.
Amen.
All you've got to do is ask me. Because I'm always there. And you say, well, hang on. There's 16 of us. How can God be with each and every one of us when we all go in a different direction?
He's omnipotent.
Because He's God. He's everywhere. And He knows everything. And He's omnipresent.
Yeah.
He's with us always. I don't know, honestly. It's too big for my mind. It really is. And so, and we have to take these things by faith. You see, when you got saved, when you came to Jesus, you came to Jesus by faith. Because, can I ask you, how many of you have seen Jesus? Any hands going up? Have you seen Jesus? No.
Can't feel him, can't touch him, never seen him.
You can't see him, you can't touch him. Probably haven't heard his voice. So what have you done? Who do you believe in? You see, it's by faith. It's by faith. And there's something inside, yeah, that says, I know that I know that I know Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
And that He died for me. And that He rose again on the third day for me. Amen.
Amen.
And I know that I shall see Him one day, face to face. And I know I shall be in the presence of God, my Creator, face to face one day.
Yes.
Yes. You see, we're confessing it.
Amen.
We're declaring it before principalities and powers, and we're saying, we know that we know,
yeah,
that we know.
We do.
Who Jesus is. And no devil can take it from us.
Amen.
We know. And it says from the least of them to the greatest. So whether you're young, old, whether you're well educated or not well educated, that don't matter.
No.
It's not about any of those things. It's about inside. That faith walk that we have. And faith is a simple walk with Christ. Verse 13 says, and when He said, a new covenant. Wow. A new covenant.
You missed 12.
All right. All right, I'll get back to 12. Let's go back to verse 12. Sorry. I'm rushing on. I'm getting excited. For I will be merciful.
Yes.
He's merciful to us.
Yes.
You know, to their iniquities. So when we make a mistake, when we sin, because we
remember their sins no more.
Because when, and what you've got to remember, are you a sinner?
No.
Oh, praise God, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, churches I go to and say, are you sinners? And they all go, yeah, I'm thinking great. Come on, we'll have a revival, all come out and get saved now, and then start with all the saints, you know. Because we're not sinners. We're saints.
Amen.
Who at times sin. We get it wrong. We make a mistake. But we're not sinners. We're saints. Right? Don't let me ever hear you say, oh, I hear it prayed. Oh, God, help me, a wretched sinner. Oh, God, such a wretched sinner that I am. I think, you know, my Lord, get saved. Because you're not wretched sinners.
No.
Because the blood of Christ has washed you. So if you start praying, Lord, forgive me, I'm a wretched, wicked sinner. He's saying, like, well, obviously the blood of Jesus didn't do the work. We're saying it's not good enough. We're saying that he's not powerful enough to make us into the saints of God.
It is.
But it is. It is more than adequate.
I had a lad at work quote said to me this week, he said, Ian, I've known you for 9 years. And for, he said, I gave up after 7 trying to make you swear.
Hallelujah.
And it was just simple, it's simple things
that's
that
right.
You shout.
Yeah.
And he said, I think there's every one of them have said, we've all tried. And we can't
well, they
do. To
do
it.
No, they all do. They all
I mean,
do.
You have to do it.
But you see, that's the transformation of the blood of Christ
yes.
in you, right? From those days way back when we first knew you. Hallelujah.
And what that?
And it says, for I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins
Amen.
No
Amen.
More.
Amen.
No more.
Yes.
He's put them into the box of his forgettery. He's forgotten. He's forgiven. He, in fact, the word forget really means, in God's term, means he chooses not to remember. He has made a decision and he has chosen that he will not remember any of your sins. Gets rid of them. Gone forever. They, that's a lovely part of scripture, love keeps no record of wrongs. And you see, it says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, God is love. So if God is love and love keeps no records of wrongs, then God keeps no record of wrongs for his children to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's fantastic, isn't it? Because every one of us fail. Every one of us make a mistake. Don't beat yourself up. Run to God. Get back into relationship with him. And it'll all be sorted. Because he says he's not going to remember the sins. And then verse 13 he says, And when he said a new covenant, he made the first obsolete. So the old covenant, he made it obsolete. He scrapped it.
So don't try and keep the law.
So don't try and keep the law. Because guess what? I broke the law, well, broke man's law tonight. I probably did 32 miles an hour in a 30 limit. So, you know, I broke the law because it says it's 30, right? You be careful over there. Who knows? But, you know, broke the law. Jesus said, if you think a wrong thought, you've done it. Well, that puts us all out, doesn't it? You know. Just imagine when somebody cuts you up in the traffic. And
I was reading about that all the day about rudeness.
Yeah, what are you?
Word for today said about rudeness, and one of the things that it says most of us struggle with is road rage.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true. Drive.
But do you
I can't comment on the
glory to Jesus. You've said enough.
It's not a far walk.
By the way, your supper's in the dog. All right. Well, somebody else has got it. So he says. So in verse 13, he says, "A new covenant he made. He made the first." Covenant obsolete through the new covenant through Christ Jesus. But whatever is become obsolete and grown old is ready to disappear.
Amen.
And what you've got to remember, when this was being written, the Jews were still operating under the old covenant. They were still offering sacrifices. Because it wasn't until something like 70 years later, after the between the birth and death of resurrection of Jesus, when the Roman governor Titus came to Jerusalem, and the army pillaged Jerusalem, yeah. destroyed the temple when they were told not to touch it, but they got them drunk and in a rage, and that night it was thundering and lightning and raining, and the streets of Jerusalem ran with blood.
Yeah.
And it's documented in historical documents this happened. And that night the temple was destroyed, and from that moment on, sacrifices
stopped.
And that was the fulfilling of prophecy.
Yeah,
that was God saying, that's it. The old covenant is now finished. It's been totally abolished and wiped out. And sacrificing is finished. There is one and only one, and that is my son Jesus. And he will only accept that sacrifice. He will only accept one way into his presence, and that is through the sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way that anyone can enter into the presence of Almighty God.
I don't understand what the Jews believe in anymore then.
They still believe they still believe under the Old Testament. They still believe the Old Testament principles and laws. And if they had an opportunity, they would seek to bring back the sacrifices. Yeah. But at the moment, they have no high priesthood.
No.
They've got no temple.
And the temple.
Well, no, so I can't understand why it's never been rebuilt.
Because the Arabs built the Golden Dome of the rock on the very site of the temple. So now there's that friction. So, you know, I mean, God probably allowed that. God probably allowed that so that the Jews could not reinstate
the
temple style of worship. Because God said it's finished. God said, I'm not interested in that. Not interested in your offerings. I'm only interested in one offering. And that same offering is Jesus. And when we come to God, we bring that offering of Christ before us. And he sees the blood.
And he passes over us.
Judgment is finished. Amen. Lord bless you.
Give me the grace of God.
Yeah, one question.